The following shiur has been presented by Rav Aryeh Finkel, member of the Beis Chabad Dayanus Kollel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center.
The Gemara brings the Braise, which states, Lo Sidr Akonim, Voloina Tilosom, Doiches HaShabbos. Placing the Akonim, or removing them, on the Shulchan is not Doiches HaShabbos. Therefore, it was done Erev Shabbos and Matzah Shabbos. So Rashi asks, why don't we say the klal of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash? So Rashi answers, Hay tiltu lav mishum shvusu el demechzik ebuyne v'soyser. So the problem with setting up konim and removing them is because of the malocha of buyne v'soyser. Now the Rashash asks an obvious question. What's Rashi gaining with calling it buyne v'soyser? It still remains only a shvus. Rashi himself says that it's mechzik ebayne v'soyser, meaning that it's not bayne v'soyser deraisa. Rather, it looks like bayne v'soyser, which is an esed rabbono. So why then don't we say ein shvus b'mikdash? Same problem. Now, there's another serious question on Rashi, which Tosis asks. The Gemara in Shabbos says clearly that the iser of sidr akonim is an Eser Tild. It has nothing to do with Boine V'Soyzer. The Gemara understands that the Konim are Kalim, and they're not Muktzah. It's a Klisha Malachtan Leheter. So the Gemara explains that this Mishnah that forbids Sidr HaKonim on Shabbos, it has to be that this was authored Koidim HaTorah Sakelim. At a certain point in history, due to the laxity of Shabbos observance, the Chazal instituted that almost all kelim, even those that are malachtan leheter, are also betiltel, whether it's erch gufo, it's erch bekoyma, and only a few kelim were permitted to be used at that time. Now the Gemara over there, so the Gemara says, and we're in the sense of what the Gemara doesn't see any other reason why we should forbid sidra kelim, sidra akonim, or netilosim, other than the fact that this was koidim atoras akelim. This was before the time the Chazal removed that iser. Now the Gemara over there concludes that the Mishnah is relevant even to Doris. Okay, but now, leaving out the details, whatever the Gemara says over there, it's clear from this Gemara and Shabbos that the issue that we're dealing with over here is not an issue, it has nothing to do with Boine V'Soyser, it's an issue of Tiltel. So how could Rashi say over here Boine V'Soyser? Now there's a chiddush that the Sefer Evin Oizer proposes, and this chiddush is brought down and discussed by many Gedolei Acharonim and Baroshim with Kveger in the Tshuva Siman Kuf Nun Tes. He says that this rule of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash only applies to an action that's usher with one shvus alone. An action that has on it two shvusim or more doesn't have the heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Now, he bases this chiddush on other sugyas. That's a chiddush of the Evin Oizer. Now, I'm not 100% sure if the Evin Oizer himself talks about our sugya, or if it's other achronim who apply his chiddush to our sugya. I couldn't manage to find the actual sefer Evin Oizer. I'm relying on what I saw quoted in his name. But anyways, the idea is that taking into account both the Gemara and Shabbos and Rashi and our sugya, the Maisa of Sidr HaKonim has only two separate Yisurim. So one is the Issa Drabbonon of Bodhi V'Soyser, like Rashi says over here, and the second Issa is the Issa Tiltel, like we see in the Gemara and Shabbos. So this is what Rashi means over here. Rashi says, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Rashi says, yeah, we don't have the heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash because it's mechzik of Boine V'Soyser. In other words, now, even though the Isser of Boine V'Soyser alone would not be Osir in the Mikdash because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but together with the Isser Tiltel, like we see in Masechet Shabbos, so now it becomes Osir in the Mikdash because there's two Shvusim over here. And the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about the Isser Tiltel, the Gemara doesn't mean to disregard the Isser of Boine V'Soyser. Rather, it's saying that in addition to the Isser Boine V'Soyser, there's also an Isser Tiltel, and for this reason, it's also even in the Mikdash. That's the idea to answer this Rashi from these two kashas. Okay, now what we still have to understand is, what does Rashi mean with Mechzik Kibbonim V'Soyser? We have to understand the Konim were not attached to the Snifim. They were just put in, placed on the Pitzulim as described in the Mishnah. There's nothing wrong with doing this on Shabbos. This is like screwing a bottle cap to a bottle. Now, even though the bottle cap is securely fastened to the bottle, and you screw it on, but the cap is not intended to be permanently connected to the bottle. And the normal usage of the bottle is to temporarily connect the cap or take it off. So here too, the konim were connected to the shulchan, not as a permanent connection. It's just to hold up the lechem. That's the function of the shulchan, of the konim. It's not a mice of building or fixing. It's just using the kli for its function. Here you have a kli, and there's two parts of the kli. And when you use the kli, you just put it together. Now I found that the Ponim Yofis in Parshas Emor, Legabe Lechem Aponim, he asks his Kasha and Rashi. He suggests as follows. He says the Konim were supported by Snifim, like we mentioned. Now in order to remove the Konim, the Snifim had to be slightly shifted and repositioned. You have to move them over a little bit to pull out the Konim. Now this was the problem of Bonei V'Soyser, because the Snifim, according to the understanding of the Ponim Yofis, were wedged into the ground. So removing the Konim themselves was not an issue, but since the Snifim had to be moved in order to get the Konim out, there was an Isser of Bonei V'Soyser when shifting the Konim, which were Mechuber L'Karka. Now the Ponim Yofis's solution is based on two assumptions. Number one, that the Konim were not able to be removed without moving the Snifim. And number two, that the Snifim were mechuber to the Karka, and is therefore a Isra Bonei V'Soyser. Because anything which is mechuber to Karka, it's much more chomer than Din Bonei V'Soyser. Any Binyan Kolshu or Stira Kolshu on something that's mechuber to Karka, there's an Isra Bonei V'Soyser. Now concerning the first assumption, that we had to move the Snifim in order to get the Konim out. It's mainly dependent on the exact image of the Pitzulim that were on the Snifim. Like the Mishnah says. Now it's hard to figure out exactly how they looked. Chazal don't give us illustrations. If the Pitzulim were grooves, as they sound to be, then I can understand the Ponim Yofis, because the only way to get the Konim stuck into the grooves of both Snifim on both sides is by somehow moving the Snifim apart from each other in order to slightly expand the space between them and then fit the Konim into the grooves and put the Snifim back. Though the Teres Yisrael in Mishnayis seems to understand that the Pitzulim were small protrusions extending from the edge of the Snifim, and the Konim were placed on those protrusions. Now according to this picture, there's no reason that the Snifim should have to be moved in order to get the Konim in place or out of place. The Konim were just placed on these little things sticking out. You could just take it off. You don't have to move the Snifim. The second assumption that he makes, that the Snifim were Mechub L'Karka. So I don't fully understand why that should be. He writes that Rashi in Chumash Parshas Truma, when describing the Snifim, is Mefarish this way. I don't know exactly where he sees this from Rashi. But in any case, this is the way the Ponim Yofis learns.
The Daf Yomi audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you could email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.